Well, today we get to celebrate for a couple reasons. Not only are we celebrating what God has done in this church over the last 18 years, as well as what he's continuing to do today all over the world, we also have an amazing moment to celebrate through ceremony. And ceremonies are an incredible thing. They're a moment where you come together, you have some ceremonial moments to sort of start something or begin something, and they're incredible things. Most ceremonies we go to, things like weddings, funerals are powerful moments where that impact us greatly. There's so many different things that we go to when we have ceremonies. The thing is, ceremonies are great, but they're even better when Jesus is involved. Ceremonies are wonderful things, but when Jesus is at the center, suddenly a ceremony changes into something absolutely incredible. I mean, for instance, without Jesus, a baptism is simply just getting wet and a bunch of strangers watch you. Right. A wedding is just a really nice party. Communion is just a free snack. But then, when Jesus gets involved, all of a sudden this ceremony is something incredible. It's something amazing. And so today, we're having a child dedication ceremony. But my prayer is not just a ceremony. Our prayer is going to be that God's Spirit moves, and this is the start of something absolutely amazing and incredible. This is a moment where parents get to come and dedicate their child to the Lord and also make the promise of their desire and sort of state their intent to raise this child to know Jesus, to grow up to be his follower. And so today I just want to share a couple things before I invite the Lindholms and the Pomerankies up. I want to share out of Mark chapter 10. Jesus says, "Let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. I tell you the truth, anyone who will not receive the kingdom of God like a little child will never enter it." And he took the children in his arms, put his hands on them, and he blessed them. In Deuteronomy chapter 6, Moses is kind of writing his last address to the Israelites before he goes off and says, "Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. These commandments that I give you today are to be on your hearts. Impress them to your children. Talk about them when you sit at home and when you walk along the road, when you lie down and when you get up. Tie them as symbols on your hands and bind them on your foreheads. Write them on the door frames of your houses and on your gates." This commandment that Moses says, love the Lord your God with all your heart, your mind, your soul, will later be quoted by Jesus. Jesus will say, this is the greatest commandment. And he says, the second one is like it. Love your neighbor as yourself. And for those of you who are a little dumb like me, I like to simplify things, so I like to shorten it. Love God, love people. Makes it pretty simple. And see, then Moses encourages them. Talk about these things with your children. Talk about them when you're walking, when you're lying down, when you're sitting. Put them on the door frames of your houses. Put them everywhere. Make it a part of your kids' life as you raise your families. Make this the center of it. Make this understanding and these commandments the center of who you are as a family. And that's ultimately what a child dedication ceremony is all about. About a family saying, listen, as for us and our house, we will serve the Lord. We will make Jesus the center and make sure our kids understand that this is the center of who we are. We'll raise our kids to love God and love people to the best of our abilities with the Holy Spirit's help. And so I am just super excited to get to do this with you today. I want to invite the Pomerankies and the Lindholms to come up today as we get to celebrate with Lucy and Ezekiel. All right, guys. I'm just going to ask you guys a couple questions. And then, church, I'm going to turn to you as well and ask some things of you and ask you to make some commitments with them today as well. So, guys, here's my first question. Do you believe that there's only one God, that he's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end? He is and ever shall be, and that everything flows from his almighty hand? If so, say, we do. Do you believe that in his son Jesus, Son of God who died for your sins, that he was crucified, dead, and buried, but rose again on the third day, ascended into heaven, and now sits at the right hand of the Father? If so, say, we do. We do. Do you believe in his Holy Spirit, that when you confess Jesus Christ as Savior and accepted him as Lord of your life to receive eternal salvation, that the Holy Spirit came into your life to guide you, convict you, and teach you the ways of God? Do you believe in what is contained in both the New and Old Testament as God's Word? And will you promise to read it regularly as your roadmap to live by? So say we do. Do you dedicate yourself to pursuing your relationship with God with all your heart, to actively worship and participate in your church community? So say we do. Finally, will you live a life that will be an example to your children, that they will see Jesus in you and one day accept him as Savior and Lord of their own life? If so, say, we will. And to their church family, for any of you that consider Quarry Rock home, I'd like to invite you to make a commitment today as well, to make a commitment to pray for both Lucy and Ezekiel, to support in any way that you can. And if you'd like to make that commitment today and pray with them, I'd like to invite you to stand. And as you do that, we're going to pray right now. I want to invite you to stick your hands out. We're just going to pray over both of these families right now. Father God, we just thank you. We thank you for the gift of children. God, we thank you for the fact that we're not perfect parents, but you're a perfect God. That's our prayer and desire for all of us as parents, is that our kids can know you, the perfect God, not that we're perfect in and of ourselves. We just want to point them to who you are. So God, for Bryce and Aaron, for Lewis and Cassie, I pray your hand would be on them. I pray your spirit would be in them. I pray you would lead them and guide them and show them the way each and every day. I pray that when they need wisdom from you, that you'll give it to them. You'll humble them in the moments they need humility. You'll help them to celebrate in the moments they need to celebrate. God, thank you for who you are and how you're going to show up in Lucy and Ezekiel's life. And I pray they see you in their parents and their families and their grandparents and in their church family. God, I pray they would know you, that they would grow up to love you and love people. God, thank you for who you are and how you're working. In Jesus' precious and holy name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. Thank you, guys. Well, today is the 18th anniversary of Quarry Rock Church. So for any of you who consider Quarry Rock your home church, happy birthday. We're officially an adult church. So we're very excited about that. No, but I'm so excited to celebrate this with you for several reasons today. I'm going to share those as we go along. But I was texting with Pastor Milt this week. If you're newer to Quarry Rock Church, Pastor Milt, his wife Maddie, the ones who planted this church 18 years ago. And it was just a couple years ago that my wife and I had the pleasure of stepping into a role here at Quarry Rock Church. But what something that Pastor Milt texted me this week. He texted me last week. He said, "Hey, Tim, I don't know if I ever actually told you the scripture verse that is where we get our name from, of Quarry Rock. I always assume because we can overlook and see the quarry out the back window. It kind of makes sense. We're in a town where we are the quarriers. That's who Del Rapids is." But he said there's another verse I want to share with you. It's Isaiah 51, verse 1. Isaiah writes this. He says, "Listen to me, you who pursue righteousness and who seek the Lord. Look to the rock from which you were cut and to the quarry from which you were hewn." Then in Matthew 7, Jesus says, "Listen, any of you who listen to my teaching and put it into practice are like a man who builds his house on a solid rock." Fact is, that's what we believe. We believe that if you build your life on Jesus, it's like building on a solid rock and a solid foundation, that you will get life and life to the full, that you will get life changed. That is not just a nice tradition, but it is life changed, and he will do something in you and through you. That's why as a church, our goal and our mission is to lead people to become fully devoted followers of Jesus Christ. We don't simply want to just be a church that comes together and has a nice gathering and sings some songs and has no life change and nothing happens. We want to be a church of people who continue to help others to become followers of Jesus, not just any followers, but fully devoted ones who give everything to God and see God move and work in mighty and powerful ways. And that's why it's so exciting when we hear, man, that in the last 18 years, seen over 1,000 people come to believing faith in Jesus Christ, which is absolutely amazing. But there's a deeper thing to that. Sometimes we can come together and we can celebrate and go, wow, look what we did. That was awesome. Look what Quarry Rock Church did. But there's something deeper. My son nailed it on the head this morning. He walked in and saw all the balloons and thought it must be his sister's birthday. He says, is it Annabelle's birthday today? I said, no, it's not her birthday. Well, why are there balloons everywhere? And I said, it's the church's birthday. We're celebrating. And first question, of course, was, if you know my son, it was, will there be cake? Yes, there will be cake. Second question was this. He said, well, can I make a card for Jesus? Yeah, sure. So I helped him, you know, did some of the writing, but we sat there in my office this morning and made a birthday card for Jesus. And I think he nailed it on the head. Because anything that Quarry Rock Church does, anything that I do, anything that you do, it comes down to one simple thing. Anytime there's life change, anytime there's a supernatural, anytime God shows up in his church, it's about Jesus. He's the one at the center of it. Anything good that I do, anything good that comes out of my life, it will be Jesus at the center. And so today, I just want to take a minute. Can we just celebrate how awesome God is? Can we just give him a hand? God is good. God is good. So we just want to praise him. God, as we talk today, at the center of it, help us to remember it's not us. It's not this church. 18 years is nothing in the grand scheme of eternity. But you are everything, God. Anything good that comes out of us, it is only because of you and your presence. We praise you for who you are. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, today, as we celebrate, I just want to remind us of a few things as a church. Who we are as a body of believers and who we hope to be in the next 18 years. Fact is, when I came to this church, very obvious that, man, we're passionate about helping people become fully devoted followers of Jesus. I was trying to kind of articulate how we do that. Like, how is it that we help people to become fully devoted followers of Jesus? What is it that we do as a church? And there's a word that just keeps coming up over and over and over again. Whenever I watch our church, whenever I watch our people, there's this word, blessing. Fact is, we are a blessing people and a blessing church in two different ways. See, when I watch our people and watch how we interact and I watch what our goals are and who we hope to be, it comes down to this. We bless God and we bless people. That's ultimately what we do as a church. That's how we create fully devoted followers of Jesus. I'll break that down for a second. We bless God, we bless people. Meaning this, first of all, we bless God. Now, sometimes we hear that phrase and that's not a phrase we always use. I remember the first time I heard someone use that in a prayer. And it was this really awesome African pastor. So his voice was just awesome. He's like, God, we bless you today. And I'm just sitting there like, wait, can we do that? Can we bless? Doesn't God bless us? Like, how does that work? But the Bible says, go to Psalm 103 or any other passage in Psalms. There's so many similar ones. It says, bless the Lord, oh my soul. And all that is within me, bless your holy name. Fact is, when we live lives of worship, when we worship him, we are blessing God. We bless God by praising his name. We bless God by honoring and glorifying him and acknowledging who he is. We also bless God by the way we live our lives, by living sanctified lives, living lives that are holy, by living lives that are him, by looking more and more like Jesus. In fact, Jesus says in Matthew 5:16, that in the same way, let your light shine before others so that they may see your good deeds and glorify your Father in heaven. Fact is, the good deeds that you do, the way you shine your light into the world, the way you be Jesus to the world, the way you be the hands and feet of Jesus, brings glory and honor and praise to God and blesses his name. So we bless God by the way we live our lives, by following him, by obeying him. That's how we grow as followers of Jesus. But the second thing we do this a lot as a church, is we bless people. We bless God and we bless people. Ephesians 2:10 says we are God's handiwork. God's masterpiece, created in Christ Jesus to do good works that God has prepared in advance for us to do. You are God's masterpiece. If you are a follower of Jesus, you are the workmanship and the masterpiece of Jesus Christ. Just turn to someone right now and say, you look like a masterpiece today. And we are a masterpiece created for a purpose, to do good works. To be the hands and feet of Jesus. And what I love to see First of all, there are ways we do this as a church that we want to celebrate specifically today. But I just want to celebrate. I love hearing it when we do it individually. Like, something that really fires me up is when I hear the stories of you going out and loving people and being the hands and feet of Jesus, taking care of those who have no one to take care of them, loving people, walking with your neighbors who need someone to pray with, going and fixing a single mom's car because she doesn't have any way to get to work in the morning. Man, setting up a whole ministry to take for kids who have disabilities and help them go down and have this amazing time out at Trent River. Taking care of kids through foster care and adoption. Like, I hear so many stories of you guys individually, and I just want to tell you, I love being a part of this church. I love the fact that we have people in this church that are the hands and feet of Jesus and look for ways to serve and take care of those who are the least of these. That stuff fires me up. That's who we are as a church. That's what the church is. That's how the church has grown. You know, sociologically, if you look at why the church grew, and take out the fact that it's the Holy Spirit going and growing in people and causing something to stir in their hearts and surrender to God. If you take it from a sociological reason, if you study it that way, one of the biggest factors in the church growing in its early days was the fact that Christians were just the people who just took care of people. Like, they were the ones that, man, somebody's throwing a baby away, fine, we'll take them. There was literally a plague where they were taking people and it was like, hey, sorry, grandma, we want to live. And they'd put her out on the street. And Christians were the one coming around and collecting all these people and going, no, here, bring them in the house. We'll take care of them. We'll take care of the least of these. That's who we are. That's what being a follower of Jesus is. And so today I just want to celebrate the fact that we have a church that not only has individuals who serve and bless and are blessing their community, but just that we have things that we get to do as a church. We have different things we get to do to bless our community, whether it's delivering Meals on Wheels. I think over our 2 months, we deliver somewhere around 500 meals every year to people. Man, the fact that we get to do things like our Easter egg hunt or our trunk or treat, but one of my favorite things we do is our food pantry. Our Daily Bread food pantry is awesome. Love the fact that we get to do this on almost every Monday of the month now. We're hoping to get to the point where we're doing it every single Monday throughout the year. It's absolutely awesome. And we actually have 3 pantry nights and 1 community meal night. And between all of those, we average somewhere around 401 individual givings of food to people, whether it's giving them a meal or giving them a box of food, which is really, really awesome. Like 401, that's just so incredibly incredible. And we hope that grows even more. Although we hope the need would go down, but we know that need exists. So the more ways we can give and serve people. And I just want to thank you for being a part of that. That is absolutely awesome. On top of that, another thing we do every year is our back-to-school backpack program, where essentially we have kids come in and let them pick out a backpack, and we give them everything they need for school. And it's incredible that it gets to grow. It's incredible that we get to serve in that way. In fact, this year we were able to serve 136 students. Absolutely amazing. And so with that, as we talk about those kind of things, I just want to say thank you. Thank you for being a church that loves people, that's the hands and feet of Jesus. Thank you for being a church that serves, that takes care of people, that loves people well, that gives of your time, but also being a church that gives of your treasure. I'm so thankful that we have a church full of people who are willing to give, to tithe, to give back to God, to serve, to be obedient with their finances. They're the kind of people where God is first in every area, including their wallet. I just want to say thank you for that. And there's actually a huge milestone we hit this year. It's ironic. We're celebrating our 18th anniversary as a church. And this year, we get to celebrate the fact that our church is completely and totally paid off, which is absolutely awesome. Yeah. Which, coming into a church that's almost paid off and then getting to have it paid off, it's kind of like being a quarterback coming in on the 1 yard line. Like, it's kind of funny. And I kid you not, I had people call me, like from our district and our denominational leadership, and go, oh, great job getting the church paid off. I'm like, yeah, that wasn't me. But I am so thankful to those that came before and so many of you who have given over the years and sacrificed and been a part of that. It's just an incredible thing. And the fact is, sometimes we talk about that, and I feel a little guilty because we can get so focused on a building that we forget about why we're there in the first place. The fact is, the church isn't the building, it's the people. It's the people of God. But the reality is, as the people of God gather in a building, suddenly that building starts to represent something more. That building starts to represent life change. People coming to meet Jesus, youth coming and hearing about God, life groups gathering and supporting each other and growing closer and closer to God, ministries happening, people getting fed. It represents so much more. And so we're so incredibly thankful for those of you who have given and are continuing to give, because we are excited about what God has done, but we're even more excited about what God is going to do. We're excited about how he's going to use us. And I just want to come back for a moment, touch on a verse that I think is so important for us as a church and for every person who considers himself a follower of Jesus. Matthew 25. We've been in a series talking about Jesus as our good shepherd, walking through Psalm 23. And today we have another shepherd verse of sorts. Jesus says, listen, in the end times, when the Son comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he'll sit on his glorious throne. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he'll separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He'll put the sheep on his right and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. And then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry? When did we feed you? When did we see you thirsty? When did we give you something to drink? When did we see you as a stranger and invite you in? Or needing clothes or enclose you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go and visit you? And the king will reply, truly I tell you, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers and sisters of mine, you did for me. In fact, that is the mission of who we are as followers of Jesus. Take care of the least of these. Take care of those who need help, who are in need, who have no one else to look out for them. And the fact is, that's been, if you study church history, that's kind of what Christians tend to do when they're actually following Jesus. They take care of the least of these. Majority of the social movements you see throughout our country have often come started in the church. It's amazing. Fact is, that's who we are. That's who we want to continue to be. We want to be a blessing church who blesses people, who takes care of people, but not just for the sake of taking care of people. Like, go back to what it says in Ephesians. What Jesus said about being the light of the world, what's the point of that? So that God's name will be glorified. So that people will come to know him, because we don't want to just simply do things for the sake of doing things and be a nice social club that does some nice things. We want people to know the Jesus who will change their life. The God that will change everything for them. And so I want to end today looking at a story out of Luke chapter 5 and Mark chapter 2. Fact is, there are people all over who desperately need to meet Jesus. And every time I read this story, I think about who I am as a church, who we are as a church, who we are as a part of the body. And it always makes me think about how dedicated we are. Sometimes we get into our own world, do our own things in life, and we get so focused on, well, we'll just do the church thing, show up, and then we go on with the rest of our life, forgetting the fact that there's people all around us who desperately need Jesus. That's why I'm here. I hope that's in some sense why you're here. The fact is, there's people who desperately need the good news of Jesus Christ. They need to meet this God that will change everything for them and give them life and life to the full. And so, there's this story. It's found in Luke 5 and Mark 2. You're welcome to go there. I'm going to tell a lot of it more than I'm going to read it. But it's really interesting. See, what happens is there's these four guys. These four guys have this one friend who's paralyzed. And see, they hear about this guy named Jesus who can heal people. And so they go, you know, I got an idea. Let's take our friend to Jesus because he can't walk. So they put him on a mat. Four of them get on all, each grab a corner, and they start going. That's a really nice thing to do. All right, that's a good deed for the day, isn't it? But then they show up and there's a problem. Jesus is in this house and there's so many people gathered around that they can't get through. These people are so focused on hearing the words of Jesus and just listening to him that they're missing the person behind them who desperately needs to get to the feet of Jesus, which unfortunately can happen in the church as well. We can get to a point where we're so focused on the words of Jesus, our own spiritual walk, doing our own thing, that we miss the people who desperately need to come to the feet of Jesus. And so these friends are sitting there trying to figure out what to do. And they have this idea. Now, I just imagine this isn't in the story, but I just imagine that one of them was kind of one of those friends. Maybe you've had a friend like this, that you have a problem, and they go, guys, hear me out. I've got an idea. And you're just like, okay, buckle up. This might be a good idea. This might be a bad idea. I don't know. I assume there's just one instigator in there. I don't know that for sure. But suddenly, they come up with this idea. I just imagine them going to their friend. Okay, here's the deal. Everybody is here in front of the door, but there's no one on the roof. I said, hear us out. Okay, so we're going to take you on the roof, right? We're going to make a hole. We'll worry about fixing it later. Don't worry. Okay, so we're just going to pick you up, and we're going to lower you down to Jesus, right? Listen, we won't drop you, but, I mean, if so, you're already paralyzed, so it's fine. So we're going to lower you down to the feet of Jesus. And so they make this hole, and it says in this, Luke chapter 5, verse 20. It says that when Jesus saw their faith, when Jesus saw their faith, he said, friends, your sins are forgiven. Then the Pharisees kind of throw a cow about that. And he says, well, fine, I'll make them walk too, and he heals them right there. But sometimes we pass over this. It doesn't say when Jesus saw the man's faith. It's this guy that he's talking to. But he says when Jesus saw their faith, when he saw the faith of all these people that were willing to make sure their friend got to the feet of Jesus, these people that were just like, oh, we did a nice thing, we got him here, let's leave him here. They said, no, we will do whatever it takes. We will tear apart roofs, we will make some people mad, maybe destroy someone's house, maybe technically cause a bit of a commit a misdemeanor. We'll do what we need to do to make sure this person meets Jesus, because we know the only person that can help him, the only person that can save him, the only person that can restore him is this Jesus. We will make sure that he gets there no matter what. And I am so incredibly glad that I had people in my life when I was paralyzed by sin and addiction and all around stupid choices in my life. I had people that were willing to carry me to the feet of Jesus. People that were willing to go through roofs, stupid late night calls, were willing to do whatever it took to make sure I got to the feet of the one who could actually heal me, and save me, and restore me. My hope is for every person that considers himself a follower of Jesus that we would have that same attitude. Because the reality is, for every one of us, if you consider yourself a follower of Jesus, there are people all around you who desperately need to meet Jesus, who desperately need to come before him, and he's the only one that can actually change their life. The question is, do we care? Do we have that same attitude? Are we willing to carry our friends to the feet of Jesus? Are we willing to go through a roof? Are we willing to do whatever it takes? That's my hope for us as a church, is that we continue to be that church who is willing to carry people who can't walk on their own, to be a blessing to our community, but ultimately blessing them by being willing to go through anything to get them to the feet of Jesus. And if you're someone here today who's never started a relationship with Jesus Christ, there's two things I just want to encourage. I'd love for today to be the day that, man, you start a relationship with him, you give him everything. Because he loves you and he wants to walk beside you. He wants to be your good shepherd, your Lord, and your Savior, and change everything and give you life and life to the full. But also, I want you to know there's people here in this church who want to walk with you. Maybe even carry you at times if you need it, if you want someone to walk beside you on this journey. Because the fact is, we know it's not always overnight. Sometimes it's a journey of walking. It takes a little bit to get to the feet of Jesus. And we want to walk with you. We don't want to be a church that just says, okay, great, make a decision. All right, bye. We want to be a church that walks with people and does life with you. So I want to invite you, as we bow our heads today, I just want to invite you to examine your hearts today. If you're a follower of Jesus, I just want you to ask yourself, why is it that I'm here? As a follower of Jesus, am I someone who's concerned about what Jesus cares about, the least of these and those that don't know him? Do I have the same attitude as Jesus, who considers himself like a shepherd, who leaves 99 to go after the one lost sheep? Do I consider myself like Jesus, who went with the least of these and laid down with those who no one else would want to be around? you're someone here today that, man, you feel conviction on your heart today that that's who you want to be. Maybe you're not that today, but that's who you want to be. Or maybe that's who you already are and you want to just renew that commitment. I just want to invite you just to raise your hand up. It's just a sign. No one else looking around. Just a moment just to say, listen, God, I'm in. I want to serve you. I want to be your hands and feet. I want to go to the least of these. I want to go and serve and be your witness and be Jesus to the world around me. I just want to invite you to put your hand up in the air. As we say, God, we want to be your people. We want to serve you. Send us, Father. Give us your eyes to see those who need your help. Help us to have a heart that breaks for the least of these, for those who have no one else looking to serve them or love them. God, help us not just to serve those who we're told to serve by whatever affiliation we have, but God, help us to serve those who you want us to serve. God, help your Spirit to lead us and guide us to be a people who are truly a blessing to the world around us. God, thank you for who you are and how you're working in this church, how you've worked for 18 years and how you're going to work in the future. And as we celebrate and we party and we have fun together, God, thank you that at the core of all of it, the only reason we're here is because of you. Help us to serve you well in everything we do and continue to serve you over the next 18 years. God, you are good. You are awesome. You're amazing. And Father, I thank you that you have a heart for every person here today, especially those who don't know you yet. And if anyone doesn't know you, God, I pray today is the day they surrender everything to you, give it all to you, and make you the Lord of their life. God, thank you for what you're going to do. In your precious and holy name we pray. Amen.